You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Here we go with episode number 75. Serving
Wassonians. Now, the starting lineup for your Wasson.
Weston Lanes.
A lot of lanes.
This is the Wausau Business Show. Episode number 75. We are open for business. Hello, Wausonians.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And who do we have on the show this week, Paul? Are you taking Tracy's advice?
I think we should take Tracy's advice and bring her in.
Who's coming in?
Kim Larson's coming in, the managing director of the Boys and Girls Club of Wausau.
Nice. And we're going to talk to Travis Teska coming up, world-renowned chef Travis Teska.
That's what I heard.
And I'm saying that because he's getting a pretty big promotion that we're going to hear about.
Have you ever had his food?
Travis Teska, the former executive chef of the Wright House.
Yeah, that's right. No pun intended.
and recently took over the culinary program at NTC for the past number of years.
Cool.
Very, very successful chef. One of Wausau's celebrity chefs.
Yeah.
We call him. But he's got a chance. When I say world renowned, I mean, we're going to hear about something big that's happening with Travis Teska coming up.
Cool. Can't wait.
And the World Horseshoe Finals were last week at the Greenheck Turner Center. That went well.
Yeah, a big event.
This week's big event is, of course, the Wisconsin Valley Fair.
Oh, I love that annual tradition we have here in Wausau.
Can't wait to get to the grandstand. Can't wait to
smell some animals.
Let's see if you recognize it. Can you name, here are the people at the grandstand, Paul, this
Go
year.
Ahead.
Artists at the grandstand.
Okay. This will be good.
It's not any money, I'll tell you that.
God rest his soul.
Chris Jansen. Can you name one of his songs?
I can't.
No? Okay. No, all right. August 5th, the next night, is Shenandoah.
Shenandoah River, I could name.
Shenandoah, the country and western band. Can you name any Shenandoah songs? Paul.
Yeah, no.
It's not going to get any easier.
Oh, boy.
August 6th. But these are great. They're going to put on great shows,
obviously. I just don't. I'm out of it.
Okay? Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Can you name an Eddie Money song?
A lot of Eddie Money. So I can name his whole collection, okay. To be honest with you.
August 6th is a band called Skillet. We're moving from the country and western genre to
food genre.
looks like kind of a rock band, looking at their picture.
Skillet.
Can you name any Skillet songs, Paul?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Sorry.
And that's it for the bands this year at the Wisconsin Valley Fair's grandstand.
Well, I like new music, and that would be new music for me, I believe.
Fine. Eric Church. Let's not forget Eric Church performed at the Wisconsin Valley Fair
right.
once.
Before he was the Eric Church we know.
Before you knew any of his songs.
Right. That's correct.
So maybe that's the case with Skillet.
Yeah, maybe Skillet will become the next Eric Church.
They look younger than Shenandoah, and I think Chris Jansen's been around for a while.
Well, that name sounds familiar. I just can't name a song.
Yeah. The rodeo is coming August 7th and 8th.
Cool.
And on the 9th is, of course, the iconic Demo Derby.
Yeah, the iconic Demo Derby.
So a whole smorgasbord of events coming up this week at the Wisconsin Valley Fair, which we can't wait to check out with the kids.
Smorgasbord. We can't get off this food theme here.
The Skillet. What is a smorgasbord? Anyway.
I don't know.
Is that something you can pick up at Zillman's?
It's like a Finnish term or something. Like a buffet. I don't know.
Got to go to Townline and ask them if they have any smorgasbords.
Zillman's or Townline? What would you go to for that question?
Which Which one has the Wildcat?
Ooh, I bet they both do.
Wildcat's just like raw hamburger, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know.
With some onions and salt.
Yeah,
pepper.
Onions and everyone eats it at Christmas. I've never had it, I don't
believe. You've not?
I don't think so.
It's really good.
Maybe at Dustin Kufall's house
it's
one time.
So good. Anyway, you want some trivia, Paul?
Yeah, give it to me.
Do you know how much, it's kind of pumpkin growing season now too.
Okay.
Squash and all that.
Yeah.
Mark Holly, famous pumpkin tour.
Best pumpkin tour I know.
Mark Holly of Channel 7 fame, he's got his famous world-class pumpkin that he does. Biggest pumpkin in the world.
Yeah.
I don't think he did it last year.
No,
but
he
every
took
year,
a year off. Yep.
He has the biggest. Here's the trivia.
Go ahead.
Do you know how much Mark Holly's famous pumpkin grows per day?
Per day?
Per day, the weight. I'm looking for in pounds.
Right.
Or not necessarily pounds, whichever metric, whichever
system I want to use. Empirical or metric?
Do you know how much Mark Holly's pumpkin grows per day?
Well,
that is the trivia question.
I certainly know it varies. So, for example, on day one, it's not going to grow if the average is 10 pounds, it's not going to go from 0 to 10 in one day.
Okay.
However, so I bet it increases. But I think the question is,
well, it goes up logarithmically.
Yes. We might even need to use a little calculus.
Okay.
Here. At the end of it, if it weighs X amount and you planted it on May 1st, for example.
Okay.
When you plant it, what is that? What does that divide out to?
So, well,
that's how I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it as an average,
because I think on average,
I'd like to know at the height of its pounds per day.
That's a different question.
I gave you a little hint there.
Yep. Okay.
Which I didn't mean to. It could be ounces. It could be in the ounces.
It's a skill I have to pull hints out of you when you give me trivia.
Scale. Use whatever scale you want.
Okay.
How much does Mark? I don't want to give any away. How much does Mark Holly's famous pumpkin grow per day at kind of one of the higher grow days? What do you peg it at?
Well, I think it would be somewhere in August or September is my guess, is the biggest grow day.
Where it's really going.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that's the fastest growth rate. And I think his pumpkin has weighed like 1,600 pounds from memory.
Okay, it's a huge pumpkin.
Yeah, so I'm guessing on the largest grow day, it would do about 25 pounds of growth. I don't know if I'm way low or high, but I got to look like you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, no, I mean, isn't that shocking to say, oh, yeah, the pumpkin grew from yesterday at 1 p.m. to today at 1 p.m., 25 pounds?
It is shocking. That's why I don't, but I know it's going to be a shocking number. You wouldn't have asked the question.
Okay, so, and I did give away that it was in pounds.
Yeah. So that's my guess.
Okay. You're way off.
Whoa. I have no idea in which direction.
Some of the days, I'm told by Mrs. Holly.
Okay.
Who I ran into yesterday. Some of the days.
Okay.
The pumpkin grows. Get this. You want to take a second guess? Go ahead. Just take one more guess.
90 pounds.
100 pounds per day.
Wow. Yeah, that's shocking.
100 pounds in a day.
Do you know how big simply a 100-pound pumpkin would be? And that's like, what it grows a day?
Can you just see it growing? I said, you see it as you're watching? Like, if you stand there
like
for 10
expanding.
Minutes?
Expanding. Yeah. Seeing expansion.
She said, no, not really. You can't really see it growing, but you can hear it.
You can hear it growing.
Yeah.
I mean, how does it, where does it pull 100 pounds out of the soil? Like, how does it even get 100 pounds?
100 pounds. And many people maybe that grow pumpkins know this, but I was just dumbfounded.
Was I right on the total? About 1,600?
Yeah, I guess. It was 100 pounds.
Save that for next week.
I grew about 60 pounds yesterday. Did you make a mistake? What? 60 pounds? She goes, yeah, no, 60 pounds. I go, 60 pounds? Pounds?
It takes a human like 8 years to grow 60 pounds.
She goes, yeah, no, but some days it grows 100.
Wow.
Are you telling me that it grows 100 pounds in a 24-hour period? Yeah, it grows up to 100 pounds in a 24-hour period.
Almost not believable.
It's right.
That's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
We'll see if Travis Teskin knows about that.
Okay.
Several underappreciated iconic Wausau landmarks, Paul.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that there's one right by UWMC.
That kind of rings a bell.
And with a live report, here's brand new Wausau Business Show correspondent. Shay Rife is off today.
Yeah.
Rebecca Damos. Rebecca.
Ryan and Paul, I'm on location at one of Wausau's most amazing and iconic landmarks. Hello, Wausonians. Imagine you're driving down Stewart Avenue. You pass UWMC or UWSP at Wausau, whatever they're calling it now. I don't know. But you're thinking about lunch. and you just rolled right past one of the most electrifying pieces of granite in the entire city of Wausau. I'm talking about the historical marker at 8th Avenue and Stewart Avenue. Buckle up. Long before Wausau was known for insurance companies, paper factories, and questionable roundabouts, we were apparently the place in Wisconsin to learn how to teach children. Yes, Wausau. Not Madison, not Milwaukee, us. This beautifully overlooked granite marker reads, and I quote, "First Teacher's Training School in Wisconsin, 1899 to 1943. The Marathon County Board appropriated $12,000 for construction of a building completed in October 1902. 12 grand in 1902. Groundbreaking economics right there. Yes, right back at ya. Thank you so much for listening. Classes began September 11th, 1899 with Professor Oliver E. Wells as principal at a salary of $1,800 a year and Miss Rosalia Borer as teacher at $1,300 a year. Over the next 43 years, the little school that sat on this land cranked out roughly 1,400 teachers who fanned out across 365 rural classrooms. So next time you're stuck in traffic by UWMC or UWSP at Wausau or whatever they're calling it now, just remember, you're idling next to the birthplace of the very first place for teacher training in the entire state of Wisconsin. You're welcome, Wisconsin. For this Wausau Business Show iconic Wausau landmark update, this is Rebecca Damos reporting live. Back to you, Ryan and Paul.
In relation to Duff, I wonder.
Damos. Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back on the Wausau Business Show with Kim Larson from the Boys and Girls Club. Hang on.
Yeah.
That's the way.
I like it.
Okay.
Je luistert naar die Wausau bezigheidsprogramma.
Nee, denk aan Wausau, zijn je tips.
Stai ascoltando lo spettacolo commerciale di Wausau.
Vous écoutez l'émission commerciale de Wausau.
Wausau, lu gongcheng, shai zha bei jia la luo.
Słuchasz programu biznesowego Wausau.
Este es el espectáculo de negocios de Wausau.
Wausau Business Show, kiki itadaite imasu.
저는 라이언과 폴이 진행하는 Wausau Business Show를 듣고 있어요.
Je luistert naar de Wausau Business Show.
Sie hören die Wausau Business Show.
मैं रयान और पॉल के साथ वाउसाउ बिजनेस शो सुन रहा हूँ.
Business Show. What does it take to run a successful business? It takes incredible courage to start at the beginning. Incredible grit to achieve success. Incredible determination to sustain results. And incredible perseverance to leave a legacy. But most importantly, it takes an incredible local partner dedicated to helping you achieve your goals. At Incredible Bank, we are that partner. Let us help your business do the incredible. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
You're talking business, making plans for you. The Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul will see you through. Cheese curds and Bullfalls Brewery brews. It's the Wausau Business Show with love to you.
Show. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And here we are with Kim Larson and Craig Uhlenbrock stopped by as well.
Ooh.
From the board of directors of the Boys and Girls Club.
Good pronunciation. Guys,
how's everybody doing?
Boys and Girls Club. This
Welcome
is great.
In. Yeah.
Kim, how long have you been executive director of the Boys and Girls Club now?
3.5 years.
But you've worked there for over a decade, right?
Yeah, actually, 25 years.
25 years.
Over two decades.
Doesn't yep. look that old.
Doesn't look that old.
I appreciate
old.
That. Thank you.
That's a hell of a run. What did you do before the Boys and Girls Club?
Well, I worked for a brief stint at a company that I don't think is in business any longer. And just prior to that, I was in college.
Was it in Wausau that you don't think it's in business any longer?
No, it was in Rhinelander.
And what industry?
Fishing maps?
Fishing maps.
Those come and go.
I sold fishing maps over the phone. I was a telemarketer.
Cool.
Yep. I tried. Yeah, it was.
Never heard of that.
Oh, it was amazing.
That's a good area to be in that business. Yeah. Up north. Yep.
How many years did you do that?
Less than one. It was my job after college as I tried to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up.
We all have that job. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up.
Yep.
Were you responsible for topography then? What's it called when you make a map? Cartography.
Cartography, right?
Oh, no.
You didn't draw the maps.
No, that would have been bad.
Okay.
No, I sold them over the phone, so I was a telemarketer. Yeah. So I would call places like, my favorite was to call Lake Okeechobee in Florida and sell them fishing maps. And I would find out that I would often call during a drought, and they would yell at me that, young lady, you need to call at a time when we have some rain. Please don't call again. Click. And I'd be like, awesome.
So there was no lake when you called at the time?
No, because it would drain when it was not the rainy season. It would fill up during the rain. And those are lessons that you learn by making phone calls.
Right. Lake Okeechobee, that's a tough one, is like right in the middle of the state of Florida, right?
Sure.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
I didn't know that much.
You weren't studying your own maps?
I was just given a list.
Yep. Yeah.
I gotcha.
What did you go to college for?
I have a degree in English with an emphasis in creative writing because I thought I was going to be, you know, the next great author. And then I fell in love with the Boys and Girls Club, and that dream went out the window. Oh. And I found a better dream.
How did you become, you know, a part of the Boys and Girls Club in Wausau then? How did that come about?
Well, there wasn't one. I moved home after college, as most people do, for a little while to try to figure out my life. And
you grew up in Rhinelander?
Yep. I'm a Hodeg.
Hodeg.
Right. Yep.
What's a Hodeg?
Coming off the festival.
Yeah.
Right. And when I went to college, I knew I wanted to work with kids, but I didn't want to be a teacher. And this was a path to work with kids without having to go back to school to get my teaching degree.
So what role did you have when you started then?
So I was the team coordinator. So I ran the skate park, which is now our elementary center. I ran our Girls with a Purpose programming, restorative justice programming, that kind of stuff. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to try everybody's role, and some I'm not good at, and I'm okay with that. Other people are way better at it than I am. And so when I had the opportunity to apply for this job, I took it.
What a great way to come into the role of executive director, having done everything else literally there is to do in the organization.
Each role and, you know the responsibilities. Yeah, good experience for you.
And
to lead the way then.
But you started as the skate park coordinator.
I did.
And that's like thrashers and kids on skateboards?
Skateboards and rollerblades at the time. Yeah, okay. It was wildly popular when I started. Wausau at the time didn't have any outdoor skate parks, so we were the only game in town.
Yeah. High roller? Did you take everybody to High Roller Skating Center then? Or?
We did not go to High Roller Skating Center. We went to Four Seasons Skate Park in Appleton. That was the big field trip at the time.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was huge. We had some really big ramps. When we renovated the park, when we renovated the basement, we had former club members who are now in their 30s come to dismantle the ramps to put them back together in their own spaces.
Oh,
it was really interesting though, because they didn't label any of the wood. So we're trying to figure out how you're going to know where this 2x4 goes versus this 2x4, the sheeting. But it was very, very traumatic for people that we were getting rid of the skate park.
Oh, and you put it back up somewhere else though?
We did not. Somebody else did.
Oh, okay.
People who utilized it 20 years ago put it back to. Yeah, yeah. Well, gotcha.
Oh, I see. Where I was going with that is, do you know how to skateboard?
Nope. I tried. At the time, though, the ramps were, they were 6 feet tall at the top. Mm-hmm. So to drop in on that, you have to be good. I was not. I couldn't even sit on the skateboard to go down the ramp. So I just did the fun box in the center. And
well, you know what that's called? Yeah, the fun box.
Yeah.
That's always in the center of a skateboard park.
I didn't know that.
Always in the center of a skateboard park is something called the fun box.
Yep. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Learn
Do you skateboard?
New.
No, I don't either. but my son does. And
does.
Dave Beckman over at the Chamber of Commerce grew up on skateboards.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. His parents used to own a skateboarding company.
Yep.
That's right.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So then you get involved. Well, Craig's here too. And Craig, how's the...
hey, Craig.
No, I'm enjoying the conversation.
Okay, yeah. Most importantly for you, Craig, how's the timeline coming on the Grand Theater of Wausau?
Yeah, we need another check-in. Are we still on track?
We're still on track. Everything is going well, yes.
Craig is the VP of all things at Myron Construction Wausau, who's responsible for making sure that the Grand Theater opens on time for Neil Diamond.
Yep.
Close.
Well, who is it?
Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton,
Neil Diamond.
About the same age.
All right. Yes.
He's the senior vice president in charge of everything.
I'm sorry. Yeah. What's his actual title?
Senior vice president.
I know, but of what? You've got
Wausau
his card
operations,
there.
Operations, I think.
Operations.
Let's see it. Let me read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
My glasses.
Paul has his readers. Get your readers out, old man.
Official business card, Senior Vice President, Wausau office.
Oh, that's it. Okay, the Wausau office.
That means he's in charge of everything in Wausau.
Okay, so we were kind of right on the right track there. But yeah, Craig, in all seriousness, are you going to be open on time?
Yeah, everything is going great, actually, so far. So
on track, ahead of track, or?
I would say on, probably even a little bit ahead. So they're doing well, and everything's is going well at this point. Yeah. I'll knock on wood that nothing goes wrong.
These hot, really hot days and smoky days, even, they don't slow it down.
That's the beauty of this job. It's all inside.
Yeah, so right.
If it was the smoke and the hot, probably would have slowed us down, but not when it's inside. So.
Yeah, well, it's cool. What do they say, Paul? It's one throat to choke.
Yep. And that's right. Craig. That's Craig.
He's responsible. Exactly. But I know that Myron Construction is very involved in the Boys and Girls Club, too, and a big sponsor of all the events there. And Craig, you being on the board, what are some of the initiatives that are going on from your perspective?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Boys and Girls Club has been a big part of Myron for a long time, so it really evolves from our corporate office, and wherever we have our satellite offices, they're all involved in those different clubs, those organizations, and those communities. So when I moved here to Wausau, it was important that I really wanted to become part of the club, and the Boys and Girls Club here in Wausau is such an integral part of this community. So us being a part of that, we've been fortunate to do a lot of work for them. When, like Kim just talked about, the elementary center renovation, we were able to do that. We'll be doing the work in Merrill when we start working for the new Boys and Girls
new Club. New Boys and Girls Club. Well, this is called the Wausau Business Show, not the Merrill Business Show.
Sorry,
Merrill. We love you. But
we do support the Boys and Girls Club, however. We can make an exception, I think.
But it's a national organization, the Boys and Girls Club, right? And what is the founding purpose of the Boys and Girls Club, Kim?
Our mission is to enrich and transform the lives of young people. Our national office has a version of that mission, but it started in the 1860s when a group of women saw some boys walking down the street following the men who were going to the coal mines, and they thought they needed someplace to spend time. So they opened the first Boys Club, and it was the Boys Club until 1990. And then it finally became the Boys and Girls Club, and they welcomed girls in for the first time in 1990.
Because their dads, they didn't want to take them into the mines, the coal mines, or where is this
based? That's my understanding. Okay. Yep, in Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford, okay. And that's how the Boys and Girls Club started, and it started as just a place for the boys to hang out?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But if you're a child in the Wausau community, what motivates you to want to go to the Boys and Girls Club, or what attracts people to the Boys and Girls Club?
I think it's a couple of things. I think when you walk into the Boys and Girls Club here in town, it's a place that is just for kids. The whole building belongs to the kids. Everything in it is designed for kids and teens. It's their space. They own it. We are there to support them and to provide programming opportunities and experiences that they can't get anywhere else for a variety of reasons, whether that's access to things like transportation to get there, or financial, or their families are working. So it really is a place that is just for kids. So whether it's after school, non-school days during the summer, we're there Monday through Friday.
Is it educational based then? Or, you know, because I know a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club. And obviously, I enjoy going to the Harvest Dinner. That's a big fundraiser for you that's coming up on November, what is it?
12th.
November 12th this year at the Rothschild Pavilion, otherwise known as the 400 block.
But still bitter about that.
Yeah. But they come in and what happens? Like, they just show up at your door? Like, literally parents drop them off, and or do they have to register? Or how does it work?
Yeah. The kids and teens enroll to become a club member. Our enrollment fee is $20 for the calendar year. And that's if they don't come for summer, that's the only fee that they would pay. But kids can walk through the doors, and there's educational opportunities. There's sports, fitness, recreation opportunities, health and wellness opportunities, cooking programs, a ton of field trips.
Really cool.
Our art studio this summer is crazy busy with different hands-on projects and activities.
And all that for $20 a year?
Yeah, it's $20 for the year. And that doesn't even include our workforce readiness initiative, where we take kids on business tours, help them apply for college, for their first jobs. They can have club-based work experiences through a junior staff program.
Okay. What a deal. I mean, someone's got to pay for it, though. How does that work?
That's a great question. And the club is really community funded, whether those are individuals, businesses, foundations, corporate sponsors. We were designed by the community, brought to Wausau by the community. Gary Fields was actually our founding board president, and we continue to be funded by the community. And those donations and investments help offset the cost for families. So $20 is their enrollment fee, but it's that's certainly not the cost to serve one kid for a year.
Because I think there's a lot of people that have the perception that it's there's a lot of funding, like state funding, federal funding, those types of things.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. So
it's all community funded.
It is a primarily.
Yeah.
Very small percentage, but a majority of it is all community-based funding.
And why isn't the state, or why don't you get grants or anything like that from the state or federal government, out of curiosity?
We have we do get a little bit from the state of Wisconsin, has been supportive of Boys and Girls Clubs across the state with a couple of initiatives. Those contracts vary in amount based on budget and elections and those types of things.
Sure.
Our meal program is a federal program. Okay. So we do get reimbursed about 66% of that program. And then the rest of it is offset by things like Harvest Dinner. So, you know, our annual meal budget is about $200,000+.
And how many kids do you serve then?
For meals? So far this year, we've served 25,000 meals and snacks at no cost to kids and club members, or kids and families.
And how many kids are part of the Boys and Girls Club right now?
Right now, there's about 1,200 enrolled members between all four sites.
And they don't necessarily come every day?
Nope. We're not a licensed childcare center. So kids, there's much more fluidity, I think, in people's schedules. So if, you know, if you happen to take today off and you want to stay home with your kids, then we don't see your kids today. If kids have other responsibilities, especially during the summer, we have a lot of club members that may be caregivers for their siblings. They go out and have a job. They're helping in gardens, whatever that looks like. We might not see them during the summer, but we see them during the school year. And the opposite is true too. There's one family in particular that I can think of. They were coming to stay with their grandparents in Merrill. But grandparents are driving them down every day so that they have some place that they can go.
What's the age range?
So the children? Organizationally, we serve 3rd through 12th grade. Each site is a little bit different by the age group that they serve, but the Wausau site is 3rd through 12th grade.
So they can pay $20 a year and the parents can just, it's not a child care, but the parents can kind of drop them off whenever they want?
Yep. And kids can get there in whatever way is safe for them. So if they're getting dropped off, if they ride their bikes, their scooters, if they take the bus, if they walk, whatever that looks like.
That's something. And it's $20 a year and it's not child care, Paul, but you can drop your kids off whenever you want, but it's not a licensed child care. But what's the distinction there?
A license, I think, maybe?
I think it's license. I think it's fees, right? I mean, there's not a, I don't know of a child care center that's going to charge you $20 for the year for your kid.
Right, that's pretty cheap child care.
And
that it's child care.
So in all reality, we serve kids that could be on their own, right? 8 years old, some parents, they wouldn't consider leaving their 8 year old home alone.
Yeah.
But some kids are home alone at 8 years old. And these are kids that have aged out of, typically have aged out of a traditional childcare setting because it is so structured. There are so many restrictions on ratios and those types of things. And so these are kids that can make choices on their own, can choose for the most part. And it's just a wide range of kids that walk through our doors every day.
But you can sort of dwell on this, but you must have to have some certification to be able to have children under the age of 18 there, right?
I mean, we are a licensed, like we're a chartered Boys and Girls Club. So we are held to a very high national standards, safety standards, organizational standards, charter standards. And we pay dues and fees to that national office to be held accountable to those things.
And I know people that are listening always want to know what percentage of your fees go to, you know, the mothership, so to speak.
Far less than 1%.
Okay. Reasonable. Reasonable.
Oh, very reasonable.
Yeah. You said four locations. Mm-hmm. Remind us where those four locations are.
So we opened, we were, you know, born and raised in Wausau. So our main site is here. We opened at Greenheck Turner Community Center, formerly Greenheck Fieldhouse, in 1999. We've actually been out there since 1999. The DC Everest Middle School, we've been there since 2012. And Prairie River Middle School in Merrill, we've been there since October of 22.
And Carolyn Marks has a lot to do with the, had a lot to do with the Wausau location because it's called the Carolyn Marks Boys and Girls Club, right?
Yep, the Carolyn S. Marks site.
Is that because she funded the building that you're in, or what was her involvement?
Definitely a significant part of the building. Yes. Okay. I wasn't around at the time, so I couldn't give you an exact figure, but I know she was very influential in not only the funding of the building, but the concept of choosing the Boys and Girls Club in those conversations. As a community influencer, she made a difference in many organizations in our community.
Yeah. Absolutely. What was her claim to fame, so to speak? Why did she have all that money to give to the Boys and Girls Club, if you don't mind me putting it bluntly?
What's a better way to put that, Paul?
Why does she have deep pockets?
I think her philanthropic efforts.
Yeah. Was she so philanthropic?
I would be making a guess, and I don't want to be wrong publicly.
Daughter of a lumber baron?
I think it was...
Wausau Group?
She doesn't want to speculate.
I don't like to be wrong. And this is a public forum to be wrong on.
Well, that's true. Well,
let's look it up. Here, we got a minute. We got nothing but time. I'm going to look up Carolyn S. Marks.
I kind of want to know the history.
Carolyn S. Marks?
She's come up a few times.
Is it M-A-R... Like Richard Marks? M-A-R-X?
M-A-R-K.
M-A-R-K-S.
No S.
No S.
Yep, okay. Carolyn S. Mark.
Oh, Mark. Mark, yep. Okay. Carolyn S. Mark, Wausau. It says, Carolyn S. Mark was a prominent Wausau philanthropist and humanitarian. That's a great way to put it, whoever wrote this.
I like adding humanitarian.
Yeah.
As if
philanthropic
it humanitarian. It doesn't say what her background was, though. She died in 2002. She has a lot to do with the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, which we love. God rest her soul. She led with her heart. She was a steadfast and influential humanitarian. Her commitment through the community continues through the Legacy Fund. No. Okay. So we don't know. There's really no information other than she was a philanthropist and a humanitarian. Hang on. Sorry. Oh, no. Hang on a second. Now, here's something from Wausau Pilot and Review about her legacy. We'll get back to this interview shortly.
We're researching.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's a beautiful portrait of her.
Yeah. She supported the Conservatory of Music, the Wausau Conservatory of Music.
Very giving lady. Wow.
Center for the Visual Arts. Jeez, she's something.
Yeah.
God bless Carolyn and S. Mark. Okay.
Yeah.
So getting back to the kids of the Boys and Girls Club, then what capacity are you at in your facility right now? You
know? Right now we have about 200 kids every day throughout the summer. And
that could go up to what?
240 would be our max.
Okay. So you got a little capacity left. Okay.
Do you ever have to turn anyone away? How does that work?
We have not had to turn anyone away yet. No. We bumped right up against that at our high of 236 this summer. That gets a little uncomfortable. And there's kids everywhere. You know, when you serve a significant number of teens and tweens, they have a varying schedule. So whether they have a job or they have responsibilities in the morning or they sleep in. So we don't have, you know, that 200 all day, every day. It varies. And it just kind of depends on what the day looks like for kids.
And they don't have to schedule their time to be there at all.
No, when we do summer enrollment, we ask parents and caregivers to give us their best guesstimate of when their kids will be there, but we don't hold them to that.
And what's the biggest impact that you feel the Boys and Girls Club, and I ask you this both, has on the children that go through the program that are there on a regular basis?
You know, I think one of the things that the Boys and Girls Club does is provides that consistent place where kids can walk in and be a kid. So regardless of what's happening in our world, in their world, what happened at school, what happened at home, what's happening with their friend, they walk through the doors and they can go into the gym and they can run it off. They can hang out with other people. They can step into the art studio and create something and express themselves. It's just a place for them. And they don't have to manage that other stuff.
Yeah, I know a lot of them have kind of hairy worlds outside of coming to your place for stability. And I've heard some of those stories before. Can you give us one of those stories that you so eloquently have talked about at the Harvest Dinner, for example?
Sure. Yeah. So in just a couple of weeks, we are getting ready to send our 2026 Youth of the Year off to college. She's got accepted to UW-Milwaukee and she's going to start her first day of college. She's been with us for the past 4 years. Wow. When she started with us, she actually wouldn't speak to the staff. And she will tell you that she made some pretty poor decisions in her behavior choices. And since then has grown with the support of club staff, of her grandparents, of school people. She's got a really fantastic mentor who she connected with at the club through our high tea program and has just found that support. And now she's actually giving back to the club. She's one of our youth development specialists and she's working there this summer in our elementary art room, and she wants to pay it forward with what she got out of the club.
And how old was she when she came to the club for the first time?
She was going into eighth grade, I believe.
And she was just having a tough time.
Yep. There were all sorts of influences in her life that were impacting her negatively, just, you know, personally, mentally, and through her grandparents first and foremost, and then the support of people around her and choosing to bring her to the club. She's found this really great community of supporting, caring adults that have just helped push her forward, lift her up, and be the resources that she needs.
And I would think, like, when she came in eighth grade, I mean, college probably wasn't even remotely close to her thought process at that time.
Yeah.
You know, and now to know that she's been accepted and, you know, going to go to a 4-year school is amazing.
She is part of a program that we call Be Great Graduate. So she's had a one-on-one mentor with one of our club staff members for the past several years. And she will tell you, and I know she doesn't mind me sharing this, that she was not doing well academically. And now she's got all A's and B's because of the support of this program. So our staff goes in and meets with her once a week. Well, used to, now she graduated. Yeah. So she's got this has had this support, and that support for her, if she chooses, will continue into college. So our graduation specialist will continue to check in on her. I know her mentor is already trying to figure out ways to go down to Milwaukee to see her. Mm-hmm. And it is not one person. We are part of the solution for a lot of kids.
Well, and it's even cool. And I know another quick story, but when you talk about, we had a person that was in the program, went off to college, graduated, and now came back and is working for the club.
Absolutely.
Yep. Like roughly ballpark, what percentage of the kids that come through your program would likely not be going to college if it were not for the Boys and Girls Club?
That's a really great question. And I would hate to guess at that. Mm-hmm. We only know when kids tell us. You know, by the time our club members are in junior or senior year, we see them less because they're out doing those things.
Yeah, right.
The kids that ask for help and ask for support, or that we reach out to and help support them, those are the kids that we know are going off to college.
And we don't have a lot of eighth graders that listen to the Wausau Business Show.
There's a few, but
unfortunately, just a few. But if they were listening right now and struggling, you know, I can imagine myself in eighth grade, if I was going through some hard times, I probably wouldn't, my first thought wouldn't be, I need to get to the Boys and Girls Club.
Right.
So what do you say to those kids when they come in to kind of put them at ease? Because, you know, to keep a kid coming back over and over again, day after day, regularly, is a real art form, I would imagine, at that age.
I will tell you, it's our staff, you know, our youth development specialists. This summer, we have about 40 of them, and they are a wide range of experiences, of backgrounds. About 20% of them are former club members. And that ranges anywhere from 20 to 30%, depending on the year. But it absolutely comes down to our staff. The staff that show up for them consistently, that are present for them, that have fun with them, that provide those programs, activities. And it really comes down to the structure and accountability that kids are looking for, that they get with our staff.
Okay. So you build the relationships.
Absolutely.
And so you kind of, they walk in the door and they're like, I don't know about this. And they're embarrassed. And obviously, you know, their guard is up. Yep. And you just kind of say, well, if you want to go play ping pong, go play ping pong. And then your staff takes over from there, kind of deal.
That's 100% exactly what it is.
Okay.
And it's the same with our elementary kids. You know, a parent bringing in an 8-year-old that is nervous to be there for the first time. It's a big building. There's a lot of space, a lot of noise, a lot of kids. And so there are many times that if a parent says this is his or her first time, our staff will walk them downstairs and give them a tour and introduce them to another kid and a staff member. You know, with kids and teens, it's not instantaneous friendships, but it is with our staff. If they are with our staff, that is their job, is to reach out to the kids, get to know them, learn something about them, and build that trust and that ongoing relationship and rapport.
Is that staff going to their homes when they need them too then? Or how does that work? Because I would imagine if they went home and they're having a tough time at home, that they might feel the desire to reach out to the staff at Boys and Girls Club. How does that work? It's like, we'll just see you tomorrow, or...
That's where our safety standards come into place. We can't do that outside of club hours, with the exception of our graduation specialist, who can do that at school during the day. But our club staff will call home if there are issues or if we have concerns. We reach out to our community partners, whether that's social services, law enforcement, counseling services, anybody that we can build in a support network for kids. And not every kid needs that support network, right? I mean, some kids are... People ask, you know, what is a typical club member? And there isn't one.
Okay.
Kids show up today with a certain set of challenges, and that could change drastically tomorrow. It just depends on their situation.
Yeah, I would imagine that it's an awesome cross-section of people and kids, that it's a melting pot, and that's an only positive thing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what you see in a school is what we see at the club. It's just a smaller version, and a wider range of ages in one building.
And all socioeconomic backgrounds, and coming from every types of family all over the neighborhood. It's not just kids that are going through a tough time.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. No, but the club is open to all kids in our age group, all kids and teens. And it really all... There's no restrictions based on income, based on zip code, based on family style, anything like that. So we do have, on an annual basis, we serve about 35 different zip codes, because somebody might work in, you know, a parent or guardian might work in town. They are living with grandparents for the summer. There's foster families, different placement situations. And so we want to make sure that the club is consistent, is affordable, and that caregivers consider us a reliable resource for their families.
And Wausau would not be as great of a place to live and work were it not for the Boys and Girls Club. Decades that it's been around. What year was it founded again?
1997. Next year is 30 years.
Wow. Right. Anything big planned?
We are working on it. Okay. We are looking forward to unveiling our 30-year celebration.
Two harvest dinners.
Yes. And Ryan, I was just going to mention from a board perspective, and you can appreciate this because you've been very gracious with your time over the years and serving in a lot of different boards, but we can sit there
as board. We don't talk about that on the Wausau Business Show, Craig. We're Paul's fortunate. Been gracious with his time, too.
Paul as well. Sorry.
Thank you, guys. Paul as
well. He could do more, though.
Okay. Craig, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But what I was going to say, as a board member, I mean, again, it's just the people that we have running these organizations, right? I mean, you look at an executive director like Kim and her staff, the things that they do are just amazing and, you know, wouldn't be possible without them. So again, I just give kudos to Kim and all of her staff and the amazing things they're doing with these kids here. And, you know, the opportunities and the things that they're giving them are pretty amazing.
And the organization wouldn't be able to go on year after year if it wouldn't be for the community support. And you guys are fundraising every year. How much to keep the operations going?
Our budget is $2.2 million.
So you got to raise $2.2 million. You get a little bit of some grants from the state, some grants from the government and whatever, the federal government. But other than that, it's all on you to raise a couple million bucks every year from the community.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And not an easy task. That's impressive.
No. Yeah, because you're getting 20 bucks per student for the year. But other than that, it's roughly $2 million that you're raising every year, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
That's wild.
Yeah. What can people do if they want to help with that, contribute? Any listeners out there?
That's a great question, Paul.
way to help out, Paul.
Told you.
Well, first we have, our online donation system is always available, and that's right at bgclub.com. But we strongly encourage people to come in and take a tour. You know, this is a great platform for us to talk about this, but seeing the club in action is really where it becomes reality. You say you have a building that's dedicated just for kids. Come in and see what it looks like to have a building that is dedicated just for kids.
Yeah.
See the interactions of our staff with our club members, because it is a game changer. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of kids, this is the thing that keeps them going. The other thing is we have three fundraising events coming up on Thursday, August 6th is our high tea event that is at the Hilton Garden Inn. It's celebrating our club girls. Thursday, November 12th is our largest fundraiser. That is a harvest dinner at the Rothschild Pavilion.
That's great. Paul's been to that.
I have.
Yeah.
Yes. I like that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So do I.
He raised that paddle up a lot that night.
Yeah. Perfect. Yep. Sure did. Perfect. Yeah. We love hearing that. Yeah. And that supports our meal and snack program. And then every April, we host Winemakers Dinner again at the Hilton, and that supports our character and leadership development program. So that Youth of the Year that we talked about,
yeah,
somebody like her is our highlight speaker at that. That's kind of their coming out, their celebration event. And that is the second Thursday in April.
Okay. And you always do a great job of telling the stories of the kids that have been impacted by the Boys and Girls Club at these events. And people can just sign up on your website for those events.
Absolutely. We're always looking to sell tickets or sponsorships. Yeah. You bet.
Be cool. Careful. Bring some Kleenex.
Yeah.
Yeah, some tear jerkers involved.
Not a dry eye in the group.
And I know at all of these fundraising dinners that you have, the kids are actually helping serve the tables, bust the tables, and are the wait staff of it, which is cool to get to know the kids and see the kids.
Yeah,
and
one year we went there. We ended up, I think she was the Youth of the Year that year. She waited our table, and then she ended up being our babysitter for several months.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. That's great.
Was it a 501c3 tax donation?
Kim, what? You're right. It was.
Kim, you are involved with the Boys and Girls Club so heavily. What do you do in your free time?
That's a great question. I love living in Wausau. There is just so much to do. So playing outside, kayaking, running, hanging out with my kid, my dog, my family, my friends.
Have you done the kayak paddle crawl?
I have not.
Not yet?
No.
You've heard about it.
I have heard of that, okay.
You don't like bar hopping, I take it. Well, I think that's a lot of what they do.
Kayaking takes a skill.
Yeah.
And it deteriorates with every drink. So.
We're reading between the lines. We got you, Kim. But you are a Hodag. Have you been to the Hodag Country Music Festival?
I have been, and I did go this year.
And who was your favorite?
I will shamefully admit I was only there for two performers, and Leanne Rimes was better than the other one.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. I like Leanne Rimes.
Vote for Leanne Rimes.
Was Hardy there this year?
So I only saw Leanne Rimes and Old Dominion.
Oh, I love Old Dominion.
They were okay. I think she showed up for the crowd.
Yeah. Did you see Duff Damos at all?
No.
Oh, darn it. Hey, Duff.
Hey, Duff.
Yeah. Every year he does it. I think it's his last year doing the Hodig, and he comes back another year, which I'm happy about.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Well, what have we learned? We learned a lot about Kim. We learned that she's a Hodig, and we learned a lot of great stuff about the Boys and Girls Club. We've learned that Myron Construction is guaranteed to finish on time.
Did he use the word guarantee?
I heard guarantee in there.
Okay. Well, my guess is I'll be back on the show if it doesn't if it doesn't open.
Craig, we'll be checking in with you.
You have us to answer to now.
Public shaming for sure.
And we've also learned that nobody knows much about Carolyn S. Mark.
No one knows where the money came from.
Well, we'll follow up on all that.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for coming in, Kim and Craig, on the Wausau Business Show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
All right, to the Boys and Girls Club, everybody.
Shadow Stevens, and you're listening to the number one show for and about Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. This is the legendary Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
At Reuter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at reuterware.com.
It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And it was National Intern Day this week, Paul.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Thought we'd call some of the interns up and just tell them hi.
Hi, and thank you for your internship.
Hey, they're coming back from a paper mill right now, Paul.
Oh, cool.
Guys, you there?
I'm in the car with Nate.
Oh, hey. Yeah, you're exactly the two people that we wanted to talk to.
Yeah, the two interns.
Bennett and Nate, the two interns.
Hey, guys.
Should I put you on speaker?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. That, are they the only two interns that we have this summer?
Okay, I think so.
Oh, Nate, guys, hey. Welcome to the Wausau Business Show, gentlemen.
Hey, guys.
You are honorary Rocket Industrial interns, and we know that it was National Intern Day yesterday. We wanted to talk to you about what you're doing today as an intern.
Where are you guys?
So today, as interns for Rocket Industrial, we went to the paper mill up in Menominee, Michigan.
Oh, way up there.
Which paper mill did you go to?
We went to the Bioregion paper mill.
Okay.
Where we got to see the process of the paper being made from the pulp all the way to the finished product of the food paper that you see in
They're learning
a lot of the, we're educating the future.
Yes,
great, guys. Well, did it smell?
It did a little bit, but not as bad as you would have think.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd think it would be pretty bad. What's one thing you each learned during your day at the paper mill?
It's like an episode of Mr. Rogers,
right?
Oh gosh, Nate, you want to start here?
Go ahead, Nate.
This is your test.
I don't want to work in a paper mill. That's what
okay. All right.
Fair.
And Nate, you're an accounting intern, right, Nate?
Finance.
Okay. But much better. Yeah.
Big difference.
And Bennett, you're in marketing. What did you learn? Marketing
and sales. Marketing yes. And sales. I learned that, the process about making the paper and, how it's very complex. Like on the surface, it might seem pretty simple. Kind of, you just take the pulp and you heat it up and then you flatten out the sheets, but there's a lot of chemicals that go into it. It's a very, very complex process.
Yeah, they got to bleach that pulp, right?
Yeah.
Do they talk about the bleach?
What kind of paper are they pumping out of that mill? Like, is it like sheet paper, you know, like copy paper, or is it a specific kind, food paper?
Wrapping paper for gifts at Christmas? There you go.
So just like Rocket, they're SQF certified.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of their paper is going to restaurants and big dining establishments. And it's the paper that you find at the bottom of your
ocean.
Restaurant.
Restaurant.
Okay. Ocean.
Like that.
Okay.
Okay.
And where are you guys going? Bennett, I believe that you're at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, right? You're a Badger. And Bennett and Nate,
yeah,
where do you
Badger.
Nate, where do you go?
I'm UW Green Bay.
Oh, GB.
Okay. Supporting the UW system, both of you two.
Yeah. And where did you guys, Bennett, you went to Wausau West. He's a Warrior.
Yeah, go Warriors.
Great basketball player and pop concert legend.
Yes.
Bennett Mattson. Bennett, what was the song that you sang for the pop concert last year or the year before? Remind us.
Oh, gosh. I sang Here I Go Again by Whitesnake.
Oh, that's God. Like a banger, man, from the 80s.
Great use of the word banger. Connecting you with the young folk, yeah, Paul. Good. Yeah. Good. And Nate, where did you go to school? High school.
I went to West, too. I was the grade above Bennett.
Oh, also a Warrior. Thank you.
Were you in the pop concert, Nate?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What song did you perform?
I didn't sing very much. I didn't, but I wasn't a solo guy like Bennett.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Like men's choir kind of deal where you're a part of the group?
Yeah, we just did some group stuff. I don't even remember what we did.
Oh, I'm sure it was wonderful. You were at the end, you participated in the nylons, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye. You did that well, oh, I'm yeah, sure, yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, they're still doing that. Okay.
Great. Well, what do you guys hope to be in 10
when you
years
grow up.
When you grow up? What do you guys want to do when you grow up?
Right now, I'm still navigating that and trying to figure it out. I've always thought of myself as a leader, and so I'd really like to take a management role and lead a group.
Nice.
Cool.
In some fashion.
Like a sales team or a marketing team.
Hopefully a role that I can do that.
Okay.
That makes sense. And you're 19, correct, Bennett?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And Nate, how old are you?
He'd be 20.
Just turned 20.
20. Okay. Okay. Good math.
Just did the math.
What do you want to be when you grow up, Nate?
Well, I'm majoring in finance and accounting at Green Bay.
Both.
And I'm studying to get my CPA.
Okay,
take it easy.
And I don't want to go into public accounting, really. Oh. I just know that with those
hedge fund
with that certification, it's a lot easier. It opens a lot of doors to do a bunch of different things.
Venture capital,
finance, though.
Venture capital, hedge fund, something like that. Wall Street,
finance, bro.
we'll see about that.
And
that
what's
might be the new Wolf of Wall Street? Yeah.
Okay.
There you
okay.
go. Well, he went to prison for 10 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I won't get caught.
There you go.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay.
Oh, boy.
And the last question that we have for you, gentlemen, as you are winding down your past the last few weeks of your internship here,
which you've done great at, by the way.
Yeah. Great interns. Is where do you hope
thank you,
to?
Thank you.
Where do you hope to live when you graduate from college?
Good question.
Where do you hope to live? Right, good.
Yeah.
It's not a trick question. It's not a trick
question. So where do you hope to live?
Where do you hope to live?
Where are you going to end up?
Individually.
Well, I've together. Always been a nature outdoors guy myself, so I'd really love to spend a few years out west.
Oh,
okay.
All right, guys. We love it. We love you. We got Chef Travis Teska on the other line. We got to go, guys, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Love you. Okay,
appreciate you.
Thank you.
Travis Teska is on the show, everybody. Like here that. He is.
Hey, Travis.
Hello, sir.
Hey. Hello.
Sorry, we were just talking to the interns. You're much more important. We had to let the interns go, although they are great.
not like let them go off their job. We had to let them go off the call, just to clarify.
Gotcha.
So,
sorry, my phone never rang. I was waiting for it to ring, and I've been working around the house doing packing and stuff and not paying attention. So sorry I missed you.
It's an honor to have you on, sir.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
One of Wausau's famous celebrity chefs. Tell us about, one of the key people in the iconic right place, right
house.
restaurant, iconic.
Yeah, right place.
Okay.
And the heading up the culinary program at NTC very successfully the past number of years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And now, and now what, Travis?
I was just going to start at the beginning.
Okay. Okay. Please do. Please do.
So it actually is ironic. It's 20 years ago, almost to like the week that we started The Right Place. So the Right Place, I was trying to remember and I tried to find it, but I already packed all that stuff up. I believe it was like August 6th is when we opened. So, and that would have been in 2006. So I moved here in May of 2006. I've been here 20 years, almost exactly.
Where'd you move from?
A little over 20 years.
Where were you at before?
Well, originally I'm from Auburndale.
Okay.
And I worked for the owner of The Right Place, Patty, in Marshfield at Casa Loma Fine Dining and Bistro. I worked there for 2 years. And then she had the idea of starting a restaurant in a house, and she wanted to do it in Wausau. So we started that business together. I owned a small portion of the restaurant with her.
People loved that place.
And the idea was always that I was going to purchase it from her and run it as my own restaurant. And when that time came, we just couldn't come to an agreement on the price. And so she sold it to another chef, and then we all know he unfortunately didn't do so well.
It's,
so
it's no longer
had a different vision for customer service and things
anymore.
Like that. And that sadly didn't end well.
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Yeah. One thing leads to another. Okay.
Yep. You gotta move on, right? With life.
Business. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then I actually worked in the automotive industry briefly for a few years, just kind of, I was looking for chef work, but it was not a friendly market here in Wausau that had a pay scale that could match what I had made when I was at The Right Place, and I had a mortgage and, you know, whatever. So the automotive industry helped me out a little bit. And then I was kind of approached by an old food vendor who worked for North Central Technical College. Mm-hmm. And he was a dean there, and he was like, "Hey, we're going to start a culinary program. I know you always talked about wanting to be a part of that." And he's like, "So here's the dean's name that's going to be in charge of it. And you should reach out." So I did.
Okay.
And she said, "Cool. We're not ready to hire anybody yet or whatever, but when we are, I'll let you know." Okay. So I, you know, a couple months later or whatever, I got an email from her, and I applied and interviewed, and they liked me. And so they hired me to start the culinary program. So I was when I was hired, it was a list of classes, and that was the only thing that existed for
and zero
the
students.
Program.
Yeah. Zero kids.
There was no students yet. There was nothing yet. It was just a list of classes. So I started at the tech in January of 2016.
Yeah.
And they actually hired me to start the culinary program that fall. So I actually worked there for like 8 months.
Putting it all together.
Actually getting everything ready.
Yeah.
There was nothing, right? Like the kitchens didn't exist when I started. Like,
right.
There was literally nothing.
It was crazy.
List of classes. They had the list of classes, and they had the approval from the state to start that program.
Yeah, cool.
Or to run those classes, I should say.
Okay.
So I wrote all the curriculum for the first year.
Damn.
I picked out all the textbooks.
Where did you go to culinary school?
I went to Johnson & Wales University in Denver.
Okay.
And
is that the same place as Chef Adam went?
Yeah.
Is that the same place that Chef Adam went?
No, Chef Adam from Chow. He went to
somewhere in D.C.
Oh, D.C. But he worked out in Denver Colorado. I remember.
East, yeah. Okay. He worked in Colorado.
That's
and
what it was.
So did Chef Nate from Red Eye. Did a bunch of work in Colorado too.
Okay, oh, cool.
But Chef Adam was out. It's like in Maryland, I think, where he went.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Chef Nate went to the Art Institute, I believe, in Minneapolis.
And then,
sure.
How many kids? How many students? I guess I should say, were there when you left NTC? How did you? How many
at
did
the
you?
Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had anywhere between the capacity of the program was 15, and there were many years where we took 15, and then there were some years where we took less. COVID was a little difficult.
Yeah.
COVID was hard on us. We had a couple of years where enrollment was very light after COVID. We had actually grown the program. So I got it off the ground, got it rocking.
Like I said, designed the kitchens, wrote the curriculum, kind of got all that rocking. And then that next year, we hired another chef. And then he came on and started teaching the second year after the first year was going. So then there were two of us. And we did that with an assistant for a few years. And then actually in 2019, our enrollment was so strong that we needed a third chef. We were going to have two sections every year because it was really, really good. So we brought on a third chef, and then COVID happened, and then enrollment went back down. But we kept the third chef and added a hospitality program. And then 4 years ago, they asked me to start the butchering program. So then I did the same thing. I started the butchering program from the ground up and designed the cold lab space and the slaughter trailer and kind of gathered all the knowledge that we needed to get that thing rocking. And then I taught that for 3 years. So
cool.
I taught the butchering program just me taught that. We didn't, I mean, I had an assistant occasionally, I had help, but that was kind of like my program to start and run.
Hell of a successful run is the point
Very good.
Absolutely. Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
So we had pretty good enrollment in the butchering program too. Especially for a new program, it's kind of a niche thing. So you're not going to get 1,000 students, you know?
Like, no, I mean, you pumped a lot of people through there.
Good enrollment. I don't know what this fall looks like.
Well, it's not your problem anymore, is it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So now tell us where you're moving to. Because
back in March, I was just scrolling around on LinkedIn one afternoon or one evening, and the Culinary Institute of America was hiring for chef instructors, and I thought, well, I'm a chef instructor. I can do that.
This has been a Warsaw Business Show transmission. All rights reserved. 2026.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.